Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. How does one overcome the past? How can one forgive the unforgivable? Son of a neo-Nazi, Mark Bowman shares the terrifying stories of his childhood and how God took what was meant for evil and used it for good in his new memoir, The Tank Man's Son. In the book, Mark recounts events from his childhood, his first shrapnel wound at the age of 9, the time his dad ran over a friend's car with his tank, the night his dad dumped an entire can of garbage over an 11-year-old Mark's head, and the time his dad made Mark throw a live turtle out of a moving car. Forgiveness, grace, restoration. Why? Those things are all possible through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we pause to remind you, the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to lead you to Jesus, for you to know that as much as Christ has made a difference in Mark Bowman's life, he can make a difference in your life too, dear one. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God loves you and he knows you. And Jesus died on the cross for your sins and mine and Mark's. He shed his blood on that cross to wash our sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose from the grave, and the living Christ calls you today. Right in the midst of your situation, your shrapnel wounds, your challenges, would you open your heart to Jesus? That is our hope. That is our prayer. Mark Bowman has served as a missionary since 1992. Today, he divides his time between ongoing missions work in Cambodia and commercial salmon fishing off the coast of Alaska. He's dedicated the next decade of his life to writing, traveling, and sharing his testimony in churches all across the United States. He and his wife, Joan, have two sons, Nicholas and Andrew, and they live in Anchorage, Alaska. Mark, welcome to our show.
Well, thank you, Danny. Thank you for letting me be here.
How can someone forgive the unforgivable?
It's kind of interesting. I would say when I speak at churches, that's probably the one question that people ask me the most. Sometimes they'll say, how can you forgive your dad after all the terrible things that happened? And, you know, it's kind of interesting. I wondered, it just kind of happened. I wish I had a better answer for you, but one of the things that I noticed was, I spent time with the Lord, and he just kind of walked me through the process of forgiveness. And what I learned was, when I was younger, I really didn't understand what happened to me. I mean, I had been through such difficult times, but I learned that when you're a kid, you don't really understand what happens. You just sort of experience it. And then as I became a Christian and the Lord began to kind of unlayer those moments and help me to experience them almost over again so that he could kind of walk me through that process of being able to not only understand it, but to be able to put it in perspective and then forgive my dad. Mm-hmm. And so it was not quick. I mean, I never really was bitter and angry to the point where I hated him. I mean, I hated what was going on in my life, but I never got to the point where I was self-destructing it to the point. I mean, I thought about doing a lot of terrible things, but once I became a believer, God just seemed to take that bitterness away. I wish I had a better answer for you, but that's really what happened.
a supernatural work of God's grace. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, and one of the most common things that I spoke at a church and people would come up to me and they would say to me, "How come you're so normal, Mark? How come you don't seem to struggle with all the kinds of things that that they struggle with from their past?" And I thought, well, that's a good question, and I started to wrestle with that, and I kind of asked myself the question: why? What did I do different? Why did I overcome my past? And I kind of realized, this is going to sound strange, but I never really got any formal counseling. I just spent time with God, and He just changed me. That's about the best description I can give you. I spent time in church. I spent time with healthy people. And I poured my life into spending time with the Lord. And He just changed me. That's what happened.
Mm-hmm. Mark, we're speaking to you there. You're in Anchorage, Alaska. Where did you grow up?
Well, originally from Michigan, not too far from the Grand Rapids area. And when my dad got involved in that kind of thing, it was one of those things where the next thing I knew, Dad just showed up with an army tank. when I was a kid, I didn't know any better. So all of a sudden, my dad shows up with an army tank. And then that whole saga just started to play itself out.
Okay. You mentioned the army tank. The book is entitled The Tank Man's Son. What is a neo-Nazi?
Well, that description, the best I could come up with is in people's minds to help explain what Dad was like. He just thought Hitler was great. He tried to bring that thinking into our home. The Jews were evil. Minorities were bad. Hitler was right. Everything he taught was right. We had German uniforms he had painted an iron cross on the side of his army tank when he camouflaged it. And we had more guns than I could remember. I shot every gun under the sun before I was 12. I drove a tank before I drove a car.
Hmm. So Dad brings a tank home, and your life is going to change. What made him bring the tank home?
Well, I think it started with he was in the Navy. He was real young, and he joined the Navy, and he met somebody who was, of like mind. And he didn't last long in the Navy. He got kicked out. And then once he got home, he never really left that group of friends. He kind of maintained and found other men who were like-minded. And the bitterness and anger and resentment that he had towards anybody in authority just seemed to just well up in his soul. And then, of course, he took it out on us. Mm-hmm. And then pretty soon he started bringing guns home, and we had lots of guns. Then he opened up a gun range. We had 11 acres. So he was always shooting guns. We were either reloading or he was talking guns. He was always doing something illegal. And so his friends, of course, egged him on, and they had the same type of a mindset. And so we heard it all the time. When we would just sit in the car, he would just spew out hatred. And that's the lifestyle that he brought into our family.
Mm. Now, were you, how many in the family?
I have a brother that 2 years older and a sister 2 years younger. And, of course, my mom. And so my mom really, I think, she told me later, she said, "I really didn't want to marry your dad," but she got pregnant. And then back then, of course, you just married somebody if you got pregnant. And mm-hmm. So she was kind of thrown into a real mess. The situation deteriorated because he just couldn't keep a job. And, of course, he didn't submit to authority. So he was always shooting his mouth off. One time, I think he got fired because he brought a gun to work. So there was the kinds of things where he just couldn't get along with other people who were, he felt he was always going to be in charge of the boss.
Mm-hmm. your first shrapnel wound at the age of 9. What happened?
Well, you know, my dad always had friends over, and they were always bringing guns. And we had everything from 6-foot-long anti-tank guns. We actually had 2 of those. They were on a tripod, and they shot shells that were, close to a foot long. And he would put plate steel up on the hillside and just blow holes in it. He shot trees. He put cars in the field and shot them up. One day he decided that my brother and I were going to tend targets. And what he would do is he'd put an old washing machine up on a hill. And then we would have to go stand out by the washing machine, and we would tape these targets up. And they would shoot at them with very powerful guns. And then when the targets got pretty shot up, we had to change the targets. Or sometimes when we were trying to sight the gun in, we would have to literally yell back to my dad, which was quite a distance, 2 inches high to the left or that kind of a thing. And then we would put tape over the hole, so when they shot again, we would know where the new bullet hole went. Well, he was shooting it into a wash machine, so when the bullets hit, of course, it sprayed metal everywhere. And my brother and I stayed quite a distance away, but after having done that for a long period of time, because they had so many guns to sight in, that we got careless and we didn't get far enough away. And when he opened fire, that bullet hit and it sprayed my brother and I both. So I took a shrapnel wound in my right leg, and my brother took it in his arm. And of course, I hit the ground immediately. And
when we come back, I want you to, you've got us, brother. You've got us. And I want you to explain about the wound. Hey, age 9, your brother also got hit. Tell us what happened when we come back from our break. I'm talking with Mark Bowman. Mark has written a new book. It's called The Tank Man's Son. It's a haunting memoir recounting events of his childhood at the hands of his neo-Nazi father. Violence, hatred, explosions, those were all things that Mark knows and remembers so well. But God did an amazing work of grace in Mark's life, written in his book. You can find out more at memoiraddict.com, where you can get this book, published by Tyndale Publishers. More with Mark Bowman, sharing heart to heart with you from his powerful story when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com. For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Paliomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 844-2042. There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
I mean, when you think about it, it might seem pretty outrageous, maybe for a kid. Hey, your dad is driving up with a tank to pick you up. It sounds adventure-filled, real-life war games complete with artillery fire, explosions, tank races, to terror-filled nights marked by vicious tirades, brutal beatings, crippling psychological torture. It's the life story of Mark Bowman. He's the author of the book The Tank Man's Son, a haunting memoir. You can find out more about the book. You can get the book at memoiraddict.com, M-E-M-O-I-R, addict.com, published by Tyndale Publishers. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Mark Bowman connects with us from Anchorage, Alaska. Mark, before our break, you were telling us age of nine, you get hit by shrapnel. Your dad is blowing up a washer and dryer. What did it feel like? Take us back to your nine-year-old mind, your nine-year-old body. What did it feel like?
You know, the first indication that I knew something was wrong when the bullet entered my foot, I didn't even realize I'd been shot. All I knew was I suddenly couldn't stand up. And I lost my balance, and I actually fell backwards down into the brush. And I disappeared from sight, and my brother knew something was wrong because he was actually standing on the other side. And so he got hit. I didn't even realize it, but he got hit also. And so
where did he get hit?
He got hit in the arm, in the right arm. Mm-hmm. And so it penetrated above his bicep into up against the muscle. Anyway, so I didn't realize any of this at the time. All I knew is I couldn't stand up, and it felt like somebody hit my leg with a sledgehammer. And so I was just agonizing in pain, and I was rolling on the ground thinking, what's wrong with me? And so I put my hands down on my ankle because I couldn't figure out what it was. And when I pulled my hands up, of course, I saw the blood, and it was a lot of it, and I panicked. I was like, oh, no, I'm bleeding. And then even I tried to get up to run to get over closer to the house, but I couldn't. I couldn't stand up. And then my leg felt just like a piece of meat stuck to the bottom of my foot. I just couldn't feel anything. And I actually, the only thing I could feel, ironically, was the warmth, the sense of warmth of my blood running down my leg. And so it was a strange feeling, and I just kind of overpowered my little mind.
What did your dad do?
Well, he was so far away that I didn't see him until my brother came running up to me, and all he said to me was, Mark, did you get shot too? And then it suddenly occurred to me, oh my gosh, that's what happened to me. I just got shot. And when I looked up at my brother, I saw him cradling his right arm. And of course, I could see the blood between his fingers. Where he had tried to stop the bleeding. And so then he said, stay down, Dad's coming. And so when I did look up, I could see Dad, of course. He was in a full run. He realized what had happened. And he just ran, and in one failed swoop, just literally just scooped me up. And he was running full tilt, holding me as we ran up the hill, which was, I want to say, 200 yards maybe. And then he just, we got to the car and he put me in the back seat and he had to take my shoe off. He wanted to see how much damage the bullet had done. It actually penetrated right at the sock line where my sock was. So anyway, needless to say, when he pulled my shoe off, he actually poured the blood out of my shoe, and I just was like, ugh, I almost got sick. And then he disappeared for a few minutes, and he came back, and he had something, and he tied it around my ankle to slow down the bleeding. Yeah. And then we just jumped in the car, and off we went to the doc's place, and there was a country doctor that lived down a few miles away. His name was Doc Kramer. And we got to his place, and of course, we'd been in there so many times that when we were boys, my brother and I, we seemed to have gotten injured many times. And so anyway, he took one look at us, and he leaned over and just peered over his glasses and gave my dad a scowl, and he said, "What happened?" So, you know, my dad was, by then, he was pretty shaken up by the fact that he had let that happen.
Did you feel love from your dad?
You know, my dad had a strange way of showing love. He would be proud of us for shooting guns. He was proud when he let me drive the tank. I mean, I think I drove the tank when I was 12. And so, you know, and it was, I want to say it was 19 tons. So when you're driving a tank, you know, when you're a 12-year-old, I mean, I felt like I was on the top of the world. And, of course, he praised me for that kind of thing, when, you know, for being strong and tough. And he was always doing things that were so bizarre. And then he would include us in them. So there was a sense of a camaraderie there. I mean, my dad never even owned a rowboat, and he bought a sunken ship off one of the back harbors of Lake Michigan. And this thing was almost 80 feet long and weighed 100 tons. And just the engine was 18 tons. And this thing was underwater. And he bought it while it was sunk. I mean, nobody does that, but my dad did. Anyway, he figured out how to raise that ship, and he raised the ship himself. And we ended up living on and off it for 7 years. So I've been all over the Great Lakes diving on shipwrecks. And so that's what Dad did. He took you places. You did bizarre things. He included you. And there was a sense of he treated you like a man, even though you're a boy. So we got hurt pretty regularly. But you just Dad was proud of you, and he let you know it. And so to me, that's what I thought was love.
How did you become a Christian?
Well, you know, it wasn't until I got a little older that I realized that something was wrong. And, you know, when I was a kid,
because that's all you know, right?
And
as a kid, you're growing up, that's all you know.
What's that?
It's all you know as a kid, that's your life, right? You don't have anything really to compare.
Yeah, I mean, he did some crazy things, like the list of crazy things. I tried to put a lot of them in the books, but one of the things he did was he decided that we had some dynamite he wanted to get rid of, and he was going to blow up a stump in our yard. Well, he blew it up all right, and he used an entire case of dynamite, and the stump just literally just leaped into the air like a missile, and it went through the roof of the house, and then the other half took the transformer right off the power pole. So, you know, that was Dad. And then next thing, he's got a VW Beetle, and he mounted an aircraft engine on top of it, and we're flying down the middle of the road. And then he went from that to the ship. And so, you know, Dad was always doing something bizarre. And, I mean, we had a driveway. I'm sure it's the only one in the nation. Basically, it was a driveway made out of car batteries. He literally dumped dump truck load after dump truck load of car batteries on it. He had founded a business, and he ran them over with his army tank, crushed them into little black chips. He had the only toxic driveway anywhere in the nation. So, you know, so it's just the list was endless of stuff that he did.
So take us back to your conversion. How did you become a believer in Christ?
Well, when I finally realized I was in trouble, And I suddenly felt betrayed.
About how old
life I've been lied to. My dad had always told me that Hitler was a good guy and the Jews were evil. And, of course, he taught me that shooting guns and being violent were important. You know, and there was just a lifestyle that he just imbraided into us. And I woke up one day and thought, I was in college, actually, and I suddenly realized my whole life is a lie. Everything I've been taught is a lie. Kids made fun of me. I had no social skills. I couldn't survive in the real world because I was such a mess. I was so bitter and angry. And I eventually got kicked out of college, ended up in the Air Force in Montana. And a man I worked with pulled me aside one day, and he said to me, Mark, he said to me, I can see that you're not doing well. He said to me, why don't you come to church? He said, we're going to show a movie. And I thought to myself, church? You got to be kidding me. I don't want to go to church. I really thought that church was for good people, and I was a bad person. I was so consumed with anger, and I had problems in the Air Force, and they weren't ready to kick me out. I got involved in drugs and alcohol, but I thought to myself, you know, I think I could go to see a movie. That seemed to me to be a sort of a non-church thing, and it gave me an opportunity to go into the doors of that church. Otherwise, I was so afraid, I didn't want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went to the church when they showed one of those End Times movies, and the movie wasn't anything special, but it got me in the door, and the pastor talked about a God of mercy and a God who loved me. And those are things I had never really experienced. And so I didn't want to humble myself in front of my friend. And so I didn't do anything in that day, but I came back later during another day, and the pastor gave an altar call. And I was so desperate, and I hated everything that I had become. And I just remember saying, Lord, I don't know why you would ever want me. I failed at everything I have ever tried. I have nothing to offer you. Nothing. And I remember when I walked to the front of the church, and I leaned over, and I knelt down, and it felt like 1,000 pounds fell off my shoulders. And for the first time in my life, I felt clean, and it changed me. And I poured my life into that little church, and it probably took me about 7 years to overcome the things that happened to me. Through God just investing in me through those people who are very kind to me.
It all happened at a small church. A man gives an invitation to someone who didn't even know how far gone he was. The man is Mark Bowman. He's our guest today. And a man introduced him to church, to a movie, and eventually Mark Bowman came to Jesus Christ. And you're listening to him today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more about redemption, more about hatred being turned into love, confusion turned into a purpose-filled life, a life that brings hope to others. You talk about bizarre, you listen to outrageous stories. It's part of Mark Bowman's path. But the outrageousness of the love of God has overcome all. And when we come back, Mark Bowman will share more. You can get his book at memoiraddict.com, published by Tyndale. The book, The Tank Man's Son. Be with us. We'll be back. Desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day.
Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Yamashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kerry Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Wahiawa. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Wahiawa, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kerry Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, "I believe in you." Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You ever hear someone's story, and as they share it, you're listening and you've got more questions. You want to hear more, you want to engage more, you want to ask more. Well, that's how I feel with Mark Bowman. Mark Bowman is the author of the book, The Tank Man's Son. It's a book of bizarre, outrageous adventures, power, hatred, anger, and redemption through Jesus Christ. Before our break, Mark was sharing a real heart-moving, touching story of how someone invited him to church, a small church, and there he was, a messed-up college student who got kicked out of college and ended up joining the military, and God reached out to him through someone who invited him to watch a movie. And there, through a series of events, over the course of 7 years, after accepting Christ, he grew and became a disciple of Jesus. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Mark Bowman with us from Anchorage, Alaska. You can get his book published by Tyndale Publishers at memoiraddict.com. M-E-M-O-I-R, addict.com. find out more about this program at thegoodlifehawaii.com. Mark, your father, what was it like for him growing up? Why so much anger? Why the rage?
You know, his mom was a PK, a pastor's kid, and she chose not to serve the Lord and married a non-believer. And, of course, my dad was born, and it wasn't long after, I think he was 13, when she divorced her husband. And my dad was a single child, and she was out doing the bar thing and kind of left him home. And he was just angry and bitter. He felt the world had maybe, I can't speak for him, but I suspect that he felt the world had cheated him. And so he got out on his own and felt that he was, I think he felt powerless. And so he sought out people who spoke as if they had all the power in the world. And they were the angry and the bitter. And my dad seemed to follow them. And so he found him in the Navy, and he seemed to carry himself around them. When I was a kid, that's how Dad was. He just spoke as if he was the most powerful man on the planet, and nobody could humble him.
How has your relationship with your father affected the way you fathered your sons? How many sons do you have?
I have two boys. Both my boys are college age right now, okay. And Andrew and Nicholas. You know, it's interesting. When I became a believer, God did an amazing thing in me. I really spent a significant investment of time wanting to know him. And the Lord did an incredible thing. He just basically changed me from the inside. And I woke up day by day spending time with him. And through the course of time, I just learned how to be a dad. And so, because I couldn't follow the example, of course, of my dad. And so I spent time and I invested in my boys. And so I just learned basically what not to do, I'm sorry to say, but that's pretty much what happened.
And what are your sons doing now?
Both boys are still in school. One's a chemical engineer, my oldest son, Andrew, and my second son, Nick, is... he's an accounting major, and he actually works up on the North Slope of Alaska during the summer, so that's where he is now.
What has the Lord been teaching you in this season of your life?
You know, I got to tell you this. When I ran the orphanage, when we moved to Cambodia, well, let me back up because they're not going to know what happened. I got out of the military. And, of course, I met my wife when I was there, married her, and then got out of the military. And then I went back to school, got an engineering degree, took a job in Wisconsin. And when we were there, that's when a missionary came and spoke at our church. And he just mentioned off the cuff, he said, you know, we have an orphanage in Cambodia, and sometimes we need people to come and help with the orphanage. And my wife leaned over to me and said, boy, I would love to do something like that. And I was sort of like, what? And I was like, what? She said, you know, we need to go talk to that missionary. We're interested. And I'm like, we are? And so the next thing I know, I'm chasing this guy down after the service. And I said to him, can you talk to me about Cambodia? You need volunteers, you know? What is this that they do? And so we ended up meeting with him, and he said, I want you to consider going to Cambodia for 1 year. He said, you're going to work under another missionary. But he said, I want you to pray about it for 2 weeks. He said, I'll call you in 2 weeks. If you're still interested, I'll send you the paperwork. And we got out of the meeting, and I leaned over my wife, and I said, I don't know how I know this, but I know we are going to Cambodia. I know it. And so we ended up going to Cambodia for a year. And when the plane landed, of course, the missionary never told us that there was a war going on. There was a civil war. And when the plane landed...
This is a civil war, 1993, 1994, somewhere thereabouts.
Yeah. And so the country was split up into factions, and whole parts of the country were fighting against each other. The Khmer Rouge still controlled part. They were part on the Thai-Cambodian border. And so the country was in absolute chaos. We landed, and when the plane door came open, the first indication that I knew something was different was when soldiers with machine guns had to escort us from the plane to the hangar. And suddenly it occurred to me, oh my gosh, there's a war going on here. And so he took us around and showed us everything. We went down to visit the orphanage. And when I was there, I just asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why am I here? I never dreamed I would see the things that I'm seeing. The power would be out sometimes for weeks at a time. And the chaos of a war zone where the homeless and the maimed and the people that are dying. And just you can't describe a war zone until you've been in it. And so, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said to me, I am sending you back here, and you're going to work here. Mm-hmm. And so we went back after a year, and we ended up going through the process to become full-term, fully appointed missionaries. And we ended up coming back to Cambodia and taking over the orphanage. And when those kids came in the door, and their parents had been murdered or had committed suicide, some of their parents that had died of malaria or typhoid, tuberculosis, hepatitis, that kind of thing. And they would come in the door and they would literally be stone-faced. They had lost the ability to laugh. And they were so traumatized and they were so hopeless. And I remember I looked into the face of that little girl or boy when they would come in the door. And I remember thinking to myself, that's me. I remember what it was like to be so desperate and longing to be loved and wanting to know what it was all about. Why, God, is this happening to me? I could see it in their face. And so we poured our lives into those kids. We had 140 of them. And it was during the time where the chaos was so great that sometimes people would literally try to rob us on such a regular basis. They would try to stop on the road with a machine gun, or we would stand there and literally try to save someone's life because something terrible had happened. And that whole experience and chaos brought me back to those moments where I realized that God had prepared me by bringing me through difficult times, because chaos was the norm when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And when I got to Cambodia, it was just nothing but chaos. And I realized at that time that God had used my past to prepare me for that place.
God using the past of Mark Bowman, a traumatized past, to position him, to prepare him to work in a traumatized country. What difficulties have you gone through? What challenges, dear one, as we listen today to Mark, have you had to deal with, had to survive in your life? Could it be that in the same mysterious way that God used Mark's past, that he's preparing to use you and even the pain and the difficulty that you've gone through for some redemptive purpose? I believe that he is. I believe God sends Mark to share with us, to remind us today. You know, Mark has written a book, and you can find out more about the book at memoiraddict.com. Mark will be back to share more with us when we come back. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Danny Yamashiro Ministries presents the Good Life Partnership Club. Join today and receive Danny Yamashiro's inspirational biography, Paradise Calls, as an ebook, a slice of the Good Life CD by mail, a monthly personal letter from Danny that include inspiring devotionals, insider's access of news stories to share, and quarterly newsletters featuring guests, resources, and opportunities for ministry. Plus, a personal invitation to have dinner with Danny Yamashiro this year and a special Christmas gift exclusively for club members. All this for a minimum monthly commitment of just $25 per month at thegoodlifehawaii.com.
For less than $1 per day, the Good Life Partnership Club membership will enrich you and multiply by spreading the hope of Jesus Christ to millions across the United States and the world. People like your family and friends. Join today at thegoodlifehawaii.com and click partners. That's thegoodlifehawaii.com.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chanan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, L&S Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So God uses a traumatized, a man with a traumatized past, a violent traumatized past. He got shot at the age of 9. And he drove a tank at the age of 12. He didn't even know what kind of background he was having until later on in life. I'm speaking of Mark Bowman. Mark is the author of the book, The Tank Man's Son, a book published by Tyndale Publishers. You can find out more at memoiraddict.com. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show, and this is a one-of-a-kind show today. Mark Bowman, you go to Cambodia. You're in this place of trauma, it sounds like a triage orphanage that you have. What happened to you while you were there?
You know, it's interesting. When I first got there, I mean, we were kind of, actually, I'd been in the country about 2 weeks, and somebody handed me the keys and said, "Mark, you're in charge." The other missionary is leaving, so that was it. I walked into absolute chaos. And when the kids came in the door, and so many of them had diseases and problems and had seen terrible things, and I just thought, Lord, why am I here? And I couldn't see it. And it was actually a few years later when I had been speaking at a church, and I was sharing with them some of the things that God had done. And I used to tell people when I spoke at church, I said, you know, the Lord is sending me to Cambodia to help these kids at an orphanage. And it was one day when I was just thinking this over, when the Lord spoke to me, and I realized that the truth was that God had sent me to Cambodia to heal me. Hmm. Because when I was there, I thought I was there to invest in those kids. The truth was, those kids invested in me. They treated me like I was the most special person on the planet. And they love me. They call me Papa. And they treated me like I was so special. And I never realized that God used them to heal me. And I never saw that coming. And so the times that I was there were the times that God really did a work in me. And it was priceless.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like they loved you.
Oh, it was great. We
those kids
went through some hard times together. You know, we had we had kids die, and sometimes people would bring me children who had such serious problems that there's nothing I could do to help them. the hospitals were often without electricity. The doctors didn't have much training. And sometimes there's nothing I could do, and no medicine could help them. And we would literally, the little girl or boy would die, and we would wrap them up in a blanket, and we would take them out into a field and bury them. And, you know, it's interesting, in all the years that I did that, not a single time did anybody ever come to me and ask me what happened to that little girl or boy. No government official ever asked me. There was no paperwork to fill out. There was no coroner's report. There was no death certificate. We just did it, and we just kept going and moved on. And it was just a surreal moment where I thought, I can't believe I'm doing this. But that's what we did, and we didn't have a choice.
Mark, someone may ask today, knowing your background, the background of abuse, outrage, how can one man reconcile with his abusive father?
You know, I would say when I speak at churches, that's probably the most common people often ask me, you know, how come you made it? You know, what happened to you? And then, of course, they asked me about my dad. What I've learned is there's something happens when you've been through difficult times. I have learned, people always look at difficult times as a disadvantage. I have learned that in the kingdom of God, God has a way of making your weakness your strength. And I've watched the Lord go out of his way to use people that nobody else would use. And he likes to use the wounded, the ones that nobody else would pick. And we assume that God wants to use people because of their gifts and their talents and maybe their finances. But I believe that God's far more interested in using our weaknesses, the very things that the world despises, our tears, our fears, our sorrows, and our shame. And I'm convinced if we give those things to God, he'll change the world. And I saw that happen in me. And so it was easy for me to realize that God's plan was bigger. And though even though the enemy used my dad to try to inflict terrible damage upon myself and my family, and my brother, my mom, and my sister, the truth was God was able to trump that and use the very things that caused me the most grief as the very assets I would use for his kingdom.
Wow.
And so it was not difficult to say, you know what, the enemy used my dad, but I know that God has a greater calling in my life. And so I forgave my dad. And, you know, God did an incredible thing in his life. And I'll leave that up to the listeners, that wants to take the time to read the book. But I have a great relationship with my dad now. He's completely changed.
Mark Bowman, his book, The Tank Man's Son. He's been gracious to share. Hey, a parting shot, Mark, to someone who right now, you know, is facing a moment. They're in their own triage moment. What would you say to them?
You know, I have learned that if you give God time, you give him the very things that have caused you the most grief, that if you're willing to do that and lay them down at that altar, I promise you, God will make it up to you. I don't care how difficult it's been, and I don't care how deep that hole seems. Our God is able to do more than you've ever dreamed or imagined, and he can make the very thing that caused you the most grief a source of joy. If you're willing to give that to him, there will come a day when you will say to him, "It was worth it all, God." And he will say to you on that great day, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And it will have been worth it.
Brother, we've got a couple of minutes left. Could you please pray? Pray for our dear listener.
Lord, I have learned that your capacity to do great things is proportional to our willingness to give you what we already possess. And Lord, sometimes we think we have to have gifts and talents or money But I know that what you really want is a heart that's willing to bend, a heart that's willing to say, yes, God, I don't care what price I have to pay. I will do what you ask. And so, Lord, I pray for the many listeners who are listening now that you feel that your life has been spent and you'd have nothing left to give God. I pray, Lord, that you would give them hope again, that you would remind them, Lord, that you are capable of doing greater things and better than we've ever dreamed or imagined. And Lord, I ask you, Lord, to build faith in our hearts, that we would hang on to the promises that are good for all of us, that just as you promised me, God, that you would make it up to me. Lord, I pray that you would remind them that you still carry the promises today and you carry them to our doorstep, and that you still make promises that you keep for all eternity. And that on that great day, we will say, thank you, Lord. I love you because of all the good things you have done for us. And so, Lord, I pray you would keep reminding us that no matter what happens, you're above it and bigger than that. I pray this in your wonderful name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. My dear friend, you've heard and you've been prayed for by author Mark Bowman, author, missionary, fisherman, husband, father, man of God. And dear Mark, I thank you for taking the time to share heart to heart with us as you have. I've felt your heart, and the Lord has touched us through you. Thank you, dear brother.
You're welcome.
And I hope that as you've heard, Mark, that you've been moved, touched, and inspired by his story. And you can find out more about The Tank Man's Son. You can get the book at memoiraddict.com. M-E-M-O-I-R, addict.com. You know, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. You know what? If you haven't done so, look, this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Psalm 119:26 says, I told you my plans and you answered. Now teach me your decrees. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Mark Bowman. Find out more of his book, Memoir Addict. Get his book, The Tank Man's Son, there. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.